Holy Spirit, and then to become transformers in society. I believe it's always the word for now. And many of us look back and read about movements in the past that were holiness movements, and I think that the Lord is always saying, well, you need to be part of a holiness movement today and for tomorrow.
Amen. And I do think, as you were chatting, that the reason that Islam is making such tremendous inroads in Britain and in America and throughout the Western Europe is because of the abandonment of holiness in our churches, and therefore there is no salt, very little light remaining, and people are open. We're told that wherever there's a vacuum, it's going to be filled. And nature abhors a vacuum, and here Islam is filling a spiritual vacuum that the church has abandoned. Well, it's the most extravagant and audacious invitation ever sent, you say on your book, but we can do it. Is holiness an achievable goal for sinful human beings? Well, indeed. Would God ask us to be holy if we could not be holy?
Well, I believe that God doesn't set an unattainable bar. I don't believe we can attain it on our own, but that, I think it was St. Augustine who said, that command what you will, but give what you command. And God, who commands us to be holy, gives us the illustration, the example of it in Jesus, and then gives us the means to it through his word, by his spirit. If we think of it in absolute terms, you know, I will never sin again, then we'll just sort of balk at the size of the task. But if every day we say, today, by God's grace, by His Spirit, with Christ in me, I can be holy, resist temptation, overcome sin, and become more like Him, I believe every day, on a day-to-day basis, it is impossible to be holy as He is holy.
Friends, you got to get a copy of Simon's book, The Pursuit of the Holy, A Divine Invitation. Indeed, it is. And your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries is going to put it in your hands. Just call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. If you're writing a check, add $4 for postage and handling. We'll put it in your hands. It'll be on our website, saveus.org. And I want to urge you to pray for our mother country. Pray for the church in Britain. And I trust that Simon will encourage those in Britain to pray for the church in America. Because, quite frankly, we all need a divine intervention. We need to be involved in the pursuit of the holy. Simon, thanks so much for joining us. And friends, I want to urge you to become a partner with us day after day. We're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless you. Be a blessing. And let's pursue holiness. For it is written, be holy, for I am holy.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of a candidate for the governor of the state of California. Of course, you never allowed to hear about her. You'll hear that 43% of the candidate people in the state are in favor of Peg Whitman and Sidney, or Meg Whitman, and then 48% are in favor of Jerry Brown, and then perhaps the last figure I saw, there were 12% undecided. 12% undecided. Well, a lot of those people actually are going to vote for our candidate this evening, but they can't let the American people know that. In fact, when they ask people, who you're going to vote for, Jerry Brown and Meg Whitman, they don't even give any other alternatives, very specifically because the elections are all rigged. Just exactly as the terrorist did, the threat we heard today. And here we are, 3 days or 4 days from the most significant and important election of your lifetime. And what happens? Why are agents working within Al-Qaeda, because we had to have agents there, announced that there were 4 terrorist attacks or possible bombs being flown to the United States to be used to blow up mosques in America, blow up synagogues in America. Now, obviously, we had to have people working within the terrorist movement to have the information. They knew which planes they were. Now, they found that none of them were bombs. Why would the terrorists, if they wanted to blow up Sunni synagogues in America, why would they simply not have anything? Oh, they're testing our defenses. Ladies and gentlemen, this is as phony as a $3 bill. They're playing games with your mind. Sidney, where did the terrorist attack begin? Why it began on September 11th? What happened that time? Well, we had a plane hit the Pentagon, but it didn't have any wreckage. A little hole about 16 feet across, and this entire massive plane disappeared in there. The wings, the engines, but I know people who I talked to my friend Jim Mars. He talked to a woman who came out through the hole in the Pentagon. There was no wreckage in there. The Pentagon, well, they have all sorts of videos. They just won't release them. What happened? We don't know. There was no wreckage at Shanksville where the plane crashed. We're told the plane dived down and crashed into the ground, but there was no wreckage there. How could that be? Maybe you could explain that to me. Basically, you can go up on the Internet and check it out. Of the 19 hijackers, at least 6 of them are alive and well, living in the Middle East. Their names, everything about them that the FBI had released, the same people. How, if you were on a plane that crashed into a building and everybody aboard was killed, how would you be alive and well in the Middle East? Is it possible that nothing we've been told is really true? Building 7 obviously came down as a controlled demolition. If you watch the Twin Towers come down, why, the upper stories of the North Tower simply dissolved. They just dissolved. Well, if it was a pancake collapse, they should have been there, but they just dissolved. Look at the pictures, and you'll see the top of the Twin Towers dissolve in about 4 seconds. How could the top of a building, probably 15, 20 stories, dissolve in 4 seconds, then before the buildings are coming down? Ladies and gentlemen, nothing is as it appears to be. And certainly the recent threat is all contrived. Well, right now, let's go to our special candidate. She's kind enough to be with us this evening, Shalene Nightingale, running on the American Independent Party. Hi, Shalene. How are we doing?
Well, hi, Dr. Stan. It's great to hear you again. I think you're amazing, as you know. And it's really interesting. Last night, I spoke in Monterey, and one of my new supporters came up to give me a gift, and it just happened to be one of your books. And so
okay.
I was able to say I was going to be on your show tonight. So
all right,
you.
Fine. Well, I'm so glad to have you with us, and we'll be back here in just a moment. With Shalene, and you'll want to be hearing what she has to say. If you have any questions for us, don't hesitate to call 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Shalene, certainly basically all of these polls that they give, they don't, certainly when they ask people, who are you going to vote for governor, and then they only mention Meg Whitman and Jerry Brown. Do they ever mention your name when they're trying to find out how people are going to vote?
Well, I had to tell you an interesting story. My Northern California director, Mike, is a police officer, and one of his fellow police officers received a phone call from one of the main pollsters not too long ago, and they asked, who are you going to vote for in the election, Jerry Brown or Meg Whitman? And he said, well, neither. I'm voting for Shalene Nightingale. And the pollster said, that's not an acceptable answer. So that's what the pollsters are doing. No, they don't want people to know. But here's something really interesting. There are polls out there. They're on the internet. One very good one is topics.com. And it's been up for 2 weeks now, and we didn't even know about it. One of our supporters contacted the campaign and said, Shalene's number one in the topics poll. Now, if they're going to go online, it's probably the most recognizable. I mean, it's an international site with international news. It's a very well-respected site. And so we were thrilled with that, and we've been leading the whole entire time for the past 2 weeks. Then in San Diego, there was a radio host who I believe got a little frustrated with all these people calling in about our campaign, and he was pushing Meg Whitman. So I think out of frustration, they put up a poll on their site, are you going to vote for Shalene Nightingale? And the answer was yes, now it's time for change, or no, I don't want my vote to go to Brown, which, of course, that's just ridiculous. But anyway, in the end, the end of the day, the poll was all day. 65% said yes, they were going to vote for me. 65%. And, of course, the very next day, he didn't even mention the poll because he was going to try to prove a point, and he lost. So I understand that one of my supporters called in today and called him out on it. There's definitely a buzz about our campaign out there, but it's only because people are finally saying, I'm frustrated, I've had enough, and I'm going to seek an alternative. And we've been fortunate enough in our campaign to have at least been able to e-file and have enough funds to where I actually did campaign all up and down the state. I mean, everywhere from Humboldt County all the way to the border. In fact, right now I'm in the East Bay. I'm up here in the San Francisco area today. And then tomorrow I'll be in Orange County, and then tomorrow night Los Angeles. But we have broken.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Shalene was just saying that certainly one of the people associated with her campaign had a friend, and he was called by one of the pollsters who said, well, oh, no, who do you want to vote for, Meg Whitman or Jerry Brown? And the fellow said, I'm not voting for either one of them. I'm voting for Shalene Nightingale. And the pollster said, that is not an acceptable answer. And, of course, elsewhere, of course, there was a poll done down in San Diego by one of the radio stations, you know, by some fellow who was pushing Meg Whitman, and the poll of people call in, 65% wanted Shalene Nightingale, and they refused to discuss it down there because, you see, the media is controlled, very tightly controlled in the United States, and certainly the majority of the newspapers are going to be pushing Jerry Brown, but why should you be surprised? The media is controlled, and they want him, but we must understand that they do not want anything but a Republican or Democrat. The last thing they want is somebody who is not associated with the establishment, and certainly Meg Whitman was intimately affiliated with Goldman Sachs, and certainly when you've got somebody coming from Goldman Sachs to run for the governor of the state of California, we have to ask, what is this really all about? And the basic issues we have, you know, are how are we going to get California working again? California is on the verge of bankruptcy. We have almost three-quarters of $1 trillion in pension, requirements or pension liabilities for the California Teachers Association and CalPERS and all of the various pension funds we have here in California, $750 billion. It's said that within 2 years, why the liabilities on our pension funds will be five times the total tax income from in this case, California, and there's no way financially we can fix it. Shalene, why would anybody in their right mind want to run to be the governor of a state that is, for all intents and purposes, both morally and economically bankrupt?
Well, that's a great question, and I know I've been on your show before, and I answered that. I was actually called by the Constitution Party, and it's funny that you should say, ask this question, because I remember laughing and saying, I'm not that insane. But here's the bottom line. We the people have to stand up. I don't want to be apathetic. I don't want to one day have my son, who's only 7, one day look at me when he's an adult and say, why didn't you fight more? We have to stand up. We have to stand up to the corruption. in, and so that's why I'm doing this. And I'm glad. You know, I've been able to, we started out this campaign, a complete unknown with absolutely no money and a couple of friends helping me out. I mean, that's really what it was. And here, 18 months later, our signs, our campaign signs are out all up and down the state. We have radio ads. We have a television ad. We have a large grassroots network right now. And you better bet this network, we're going to keep growing regardless of what happens on the outcome of November 2nd. And we're going to keep moving forward, you know, and take our state back.
All right,
it can be done.
All right, well, let's ask you some, of course, I know where your positions are in most things, Celine, but I want our listeners to know, where do you stand, for instance, on the moral issues, on life? Are you pro-life? Are you pro-choice?
I'm actually the only pro-life governor candidate in the race.
All right, fine. So you're pro-life. And then, of course, how do you feel as far as the traditional family values? How do you feel about the Proposition 8? Cindy Meg Whitman has sort of equivocated on that. But what's your stand on Proposition 8?
Well, you know what? Well, here's how I answered. I am a Christian. So as a Christian, I believe what Scripture says in all things, and that includes, you know, marriage and family values. However, I have to say this. Marriage is not part of the Constitution. Government does not belong in marriage. And here's where I believe that the good people, the good Christians of this country, were absolutely wrong when they decided to allow not only churches to become a 501c3, but when they allowed marriages, when you had to go apply for a marriage certificate. Marriage should only be between the people, the couple, and God. That's how I see that. So it's more of a complex issue. And, you know, the government does not have a right to tell people how to live their lives. Now, when people ask me, but you're pro-life, well, yes, because the Constitution is clear that government is to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To protect you from an invasion and to protect your property. That's it. That is what government is supposed to do. So, you know, to tell people what schools they can go to, how they should live their lives, what they do in their homes is not in the jurisdiction per the Constitution of the United States of America, or even in the California, per the California Constitution. So, you know, though currently in the California Constitution, it does say that marriage is between a man and a woman per the California state constitution. So it is a state rights issue, particularly, though, with Prop 8. Look, the voters decided. The voters voted. And so having a judicial activist, you know, take away the votes and the will of the people is not right.
All right, fine. What's your stand on illegal immigration? I mean, should we help these people? After all, they're human beings.
Well, yes, they may be human beings, but again, we are supposed to protect us in the government against an invasion. We don't just have a few illegal aliens. We have an invasion. And in our state of California, we're spending over $21 billion per year in public benefits for illegal aliens.
$21 billion a year. That's equivalent to our entire deficit.
Exactly. Look, we know why the government is doing this. They're allowing illegal aliens to come in here. It's one way to collapse the state, to collapse the United States of America. And they're using these poor people as pawns, quite frankly. I see them as they're being used as slaves. They're being used as pawns. It's really abusive. So for the sake of the people, we must put our military, our California state military, on the border to help them and to help ourselves. But we have to protect our sovereignty first. And if we can protect our sovereignty, then we can help those that want help. But, you know, for instance, you know, I had a disabled couple call me the other night on the phone, and they cannot work. They're disabled. The gentleman had his neck broken and paralyzed, and their funding is being reduced. So we don't take care of our own legal residents of California, but we're spending over $21 billion illegal aliens.
And I think that is such an important part that Shalene is making. First of all, we're spending an amount equivalent to our entire state deficit for the year taking care of illegal immigrants, people who come here, violated our laws. That idea that they're human beings was something Jerry Brown said. Of course they're human beings. But we're not going to help the Mexicans in this country or the Mexicans in Mexico by destroying this country. And I think Shalene is absolutely right. They're pawns. This is a plan, an intentional plan to destroy this nation. It's being financed, for those of you who don't know, by the Ford Foundation, which finances LULAC and La Raza and Maldave and all of these organizations for illegal immigration using tax-exempt dollars. And the fact that most people have never heard that simply is a reflection of the degree of control that exists over what the American people think. But you can go up on the Internet and you can check it out. Now, how are we going to get jobs here in this state? Because certainly we have a real problem. A lot of businesses are leaving the state and going to other states.
Yes.
Many of our businesses have actually moved offshore. They moved to China. And basically, those jobs are not coming back unless we have return to tariffs, and that's not a state issue. So if you were governor, you couldn't put tariffs on, which is what we really need. But Sydney, how are we going to get businesses to invest here in California?
I'm glad that you asked this question, and because I get the opportunity to tell the listeners, they must vote yes on Prop 23. And don't buy into the propaganda of the No on 23 campaign. I know at the beginning they were using the Stop Big Oil Companies Say No on 23. And here's the deal. You've got to do your homework. The people that are funding Yes on Prop 23 are the oil refineries, the middleman, Valero, the middleman. Though there's financiers and investors of crude oil that are funding the No on 23. So what the simple translation of that is, if Prop 23 fails, these crude oil investors and companies will make billions of dollars. Our gas will go up to $9 per gallon, and that's a fact. Prop 23 would suspend the bad part. By the way, it doesn't take away all of AB 32. It just suspends the bad parts that would affect the businesses. So AB 32, by the way, was Assembly Bill that Arnold Schwarzenegger signed into law. It's the Global Warming Solutions Act, global warming. And it's to, monitor the greenhouse gas emissions. So Prop 23 would suspend the bad parts of AB 32 until our unemployment rate goes from its current 12.5% down to 5.5% and then remains at 5.5% for four consecutive quarters. So it is a must. In fact, in the beginning, the California Air Resources Board that helped implement all of this, they said that that AB 32 would create 100,000 new jobs. And this past spring, they said they were wrong. It would only create 10,000 jobs.
And, of course, it's going to kill our whole economy here in the state. It's going to put requirements on if you have any sort of a diesel engine. Why, you're going to have to get a new tractor, you're going to have to get new trucks. I mean, this is designed to cripple our society. There really are people who want to destroy America. When you understand that, you understand what this whole global warming scan is about. And Shalene is absolutely right. I mean, passing Proposition 23 is vital if we're going to have any hope, of course, of saving California. But we have other problems here, and that is, of course, there's so much in the way of regulations that discourages companies from being here. And, of course, the biggest thing is, how are we going to get money loaned by the banks? And we'll be right back. Well, Shalene, take that story up now. Certainly, you're absolutely right, in my estimation, on Proposition 23. But we have so many rules and regulations. We have so many things going on here.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Should we be concerned about somebody running in California? Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, as California goes, so goes the rest of this country. And believe me, California is on the verge of bankruptcy. I mean, we are not going to be able to pay the interest on our debts, much less the return on our debts. We're not going to be able to pay our pension requirements, which take the first dollar by the law today. Why, the first dollar that comes in has to go out to pay for the pension benefits. And when that's all done, then we can have other things like funding our schools and funding our state bureaucracy. So we've got a real problem here, and we have to get this thing straightened out. And Shalene is simply talking about the importance of passing Proposition 23, which will undo this whole effort on the part of the people who hate America, who hate California, and want to destroy our economy by putting on these cap and trade legislation that will simply shut down our economy. Basically, it's going to cut back on emissions. It's going to cut back on the use of any sort of a fossil fuel for generating electricity, destroy electricity. And they're already running the cost of electricity up here. As a result of that, the industries here, which are energy dependent, are going to move to other states where the cost of electricity will be far less, or move to China, where we're actually subsidizing or at least guaranteeing the loans so that China can build nuclear power plants. They can build nuclear power plants. Westinghouse is going to build 5 nuclear power plants. And you, ladies and gentlemen, are going to guarantee the loans for those communist nuclear power plants, but we can't have that sort of thing here in America. And what people have to understand is these people want to destroy our economy. Why would anybody in their right mind want to do that? Why, they're not in the right mind. They have a different worldview. Destroy this nation, we'll rebuild a new one, this one world government that they believe in. Well, let's go to Ruby, who's calling us right now. Ruby's calling us from Live Oak. Hi. Oh, let's see. Hi, Ruby. Do you have a question for our guest?
Hi. Well, you already asked most of my questions.
All right. Well, you go ahead and ask him anyway.
Okay. Well, Shalene, I just want you to know that I am voting for you. My sister has already turned in her vote. She's voting for you. And I thank you, Dr. Stan, for putting Shalene on as many times as you had and helping us to see that there is an alternative candidate, of course, because she's a pro-life candidate. But also, I would never vote for Governor Moonbeam anyway, but I just don't trust Meg Whitman because she's just got too much big money backing her, and I'm wondering what her agenda is. But I don't really care because I am voting for Shalene. But I'd like to ask Shalene a couple of questions, if I might.
You go right ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. do you have a plan or anything that you can do about the water situation so you can save the agriculture in our state, especially in the Central Valley?
And I think that's a very important question. For those across America who don't know, they've turned the water off to most of the Central Valley of California. Once a lush area of fruits and vegetables and rice, now the fields are barren. In many of the communities, 40% unemployment. It's been done because we have to protect the three and smelt. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not it at all. They wanted to destroy the agriculture of the Central Coast, the Central Valley of California, so they can build up agriculture throughout the world. They want equitable distribution of wealth between nations. So you've got to destroy agriculture here. You've got to destroy our steel industry, our textile industry, our electronics industry, our automobile industry. And incidentally, China is going to build 17 million cars this year, and we're going to build about 11 million cars. We used to build 18 million cars. China will be building 19 million cars next year. We'll probably be building 8 or 9 million because they're bringing in the Tata, a car from India that's only going to cost $7,000 delivered here in the United States, and that will really, of course, destroy our industry. Our cars are not that good anyway, unfortunately. For years, they've intentionally built second-rate cars, to Japan. Their cars are far better than ours are. But anyway, Ruby, your question is?
About the water initiative.
What about the water initiative?
Water, yes, yes. So, Ruby, first of all, thank you so much for you and your sister for voting for me. And I guess we're going to a break, so I'll answer the question after the break about the water.
All right,
okay,
fine.
I'll be waiting.
All right, you just hang on there for a moment.
I will.
Ruby, and we'll be right back. Our guest, of course, is Shalene Nightingale. She is the American Independent Party candidate here in the in California. And because of the degree of control over the media, most people certainly have never heard of her through the regular media. But, of course, using alternative media and using certainly radio, talk radio, and certainly with already of thousands of supporters all across the state, the yard signs going up and people really enthusiastic about her campaigns, going from one end of the state to the other, and totally blacked out. Because we have freedom of the press in America, that means they have the freedom to black out whatever they want to. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan back here. And Shalene, how would you deal with the problem? The EPA is determined we have to save those three and smelt, and certainly they have ordered that the water be withheld from the farm so that the smelt can, of course, live happy lives. And, of course, what we're seeing then is the water simply running out into the ocean, the water that could be used to certainly produce jobs and produce the products that otherwise now we're having increasingly to support or to import our fruits and vegetables, and certainly our almonds are destroying all the orchards out there, rice from other countries. What can be done to counter what's being forced on us by Washington, D.C.?
Well, I'm really glad that you're asking this question, because as a matter of fact, a couple of months ago, I walked with a few supporters from Fresno to Sacramento. It was 189.2 miles. For this very issue, the water issue in the Central Valley. I've been saying all along that I would turn on the Delta pumps. You know, Sheriff Richard Mack is somebody who has endorsed my campaign, and, you know, he has said that the sheriff can go in that district and arrest any federal agent that comes in and turns off the water. Well, lo and behold, after I was done with my walk, a group of wonderful ladies working for various different agencies came and met me at the Capitol steps and said, there's more to this issue. And basically, since then, I have been very educated. I've done a tour of the Delta up in Northern California. I've spoken to farmers in Northern California, as well as Central California. Water is the new oil. You have to understand that. Dianne Feinstein and her husband, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and many others, the couple who own BG Water, this has become a commodity that they're privatizing, and there is a list out there that I was given showing certain farmers. I'm not talking the good farmers. I'm talking corporate farmers that are making billions. This is a multi-billion dollar industry, and they're making millions per year by privatizing the water, having scarce water. But here's the deal. The people in Southern California are paying for water that's not even there. And it's eventually going to come to the point where their water is hiked up, but there's not going to be resources.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I'd asked Shalene about the issue of the water in the Central Valley, and she said that she actually walked all the way from Fresno to Sacramento with farmers and looked at the dry fields there. But then she said that she's been getting a lot more information, and now she's beginning to learn that there's an organized effort on the part of Dianne Feinstein and her husband and Arnold Schwarzenegger and a bunch of the regular crowd, and they're going to privatize water, and certainly there are a lot of the corporate farms that are going along with this, and what they want to do is control the water, because if you can control the water, you control the farms, you control the people. And so basically, how are they going about doing this? How are they going to use the power of the state to favor one group over another, Shalene?
Well, it's already happening, and I'm still learning as I'm going along. I have a lot of information I still haven't read, but I have enough information to know that this is a major problem that we need to do something about now. Yes, turning on the pumps is one of the solutions, but it's not the only solution. We have to continue to educate people about the water issue. Also, these wonderful women that I've met, they're actually fighting. They're going to water, you know, commission meetings. They're going to their own city council meetings, and they're really getting the information out there. And they're speaking to people, not just in our country, but from people around the world, for trying to find solutions for water in our own state. One of them is actually having condensation as one of the solutions for water. So I'm speaking to them now, elected. We will talk about this further, and I will find out more information. But it is definitely part of the whole Agenda 21, and the dots are, I have to tell you this, Dr. Stan, the dots are all connected. But the water issue is one of the, besides illegal immigration and jobs, water issue is right there at the top. I'm really glad I chose it as one of my platforms. And at the time I chose it as a platform, I didn't even realize how crucial and how complex that it was. But there are farmers. I mean, I have seen it. They're losing their crops. They're losing over $2 billion a year on agricultural revenue alone because of this crisis. But it's only going to get worse as these elitists keep controlling the water and making more money. It's going to become harder and harder. So we have to expose the corruption.
I think they really want to destroy our agriculture. Yes, certainly some people are going to make money out of this sort of thing. But we're going to be importing more and more of our fruits and vegetables from other countries. That's part of the plan. But it would be very simple for some a sheriff in there to say, we're turning on the pumps. And if you try to turn them off, we'll arrest you. You do not have authority in this area under the Constitution. But nobody will do that. Certainly Arnold Schwarzenegger would do that because he's going right along with the scam.
No, but I would do it. Right along with the scam, but let me tell you something, I will do it. And I know that means a target on my back, but, you know, what we have to start really, remember what Thomas Jefferson said? He said, we had to question boldly. If we want to still be we the people, we have to fight the tyranny. And part of that means always being ever vigilant and keeping an eye on those that we elect. The days of just going to the voting polls and not knowing anything about candidates and voting party loyal, those days are long gone. And if we continue to do that, the corruption is only going to become worse. Today I spoke to a woman who, she's from a communist country, and she came over here. Her husband was an admiral in the Navy. Her son is currently serving in the Navy. But she was from a communist country, and she broke down in tears when I was speaking, when she was helping me. And she said, you know, I've seen communism come to this state. I've got to leave it. I can't stay here. So, you know, there are those that have come from other countries that are seeing exactly what is happening. It is a communist agenda. Senator Joe McCarthy had it right when he tried to warn a nation, and people ridiculed him, mocked him, villainized him. And now, you know, as we know, Ronald Reagan used to go out and warn people against communism. Apparently, we didn't listen enough. You know, this is what Saul Alinsky and his whole crowd advocated. And remember what William Ayers said in the 60s. In order to have their new society, remember that word new, and when you hear it, new California, new world order, those are their buzzwords, run the other direction. But he said to build their new society, they needed to have a communist revolution. Well, their manifesto is almost completed. They've gone through our education system. They're going through our water, the media, everything they need to do. They're almost complete with. And remember, it only takes a small mob to overtake a silent majority. So thank goodness there is the Tea Party and Campaign for Liberty. Those groups are out there making a huge difference. And hopefully they never stop their momentum, and they keep growing and growing and making a difference, because we need to educate more Americans before it's too late. And you know what, Dr. Stan, we may already be there, but I hope not.
Well, I think that as long as we can talk, as long as we still can have breath, why, it's certainly, there's a chance that we're going to be able to take America back. But remember, the same people who finance communism in Russia, and I'm talking about the great American corporations, the great American banks, people from the Federal Reserve System, the people who finance communism in Russia, they wanted an enemy so they could justify increasing their power over our lives here. But they're in complete control today, and that's the sort of America that they want. They want a ruling elite to control the masses. That's what it's all about. Hey, we're going to have to let you go because we've got a whole board full of people calling in from across America. Let's go to Veronica calling from Ohio State. And again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Hi, Veronica. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes. Hello, Dr. Stan. You know what I learned to hear, you know, to listen to the radio station with my husband. I have, you know, the privilege to hear your program. But something sad is in my heart, and I want to let you know that. We were just listening to the radio right now, and you were talking about, you know, the whole thing, you know, the matter about voting or things like that. But you mentioned one part, you know, I'm a Mexican-American, and you were talking about, you know, all the Mexicans that are here. And I heard a lady, you know, this lady saying that they spent 20-something billion dollars in Hispanics. But the truth is, the people that is here is working. They're helping the economy. It's not, I've seen it. It's not because still some Mexican-American, you know.
Veronica, it's costing California $21 billion. Now, maybe that doesn't bother you because you live in Ohio. It bothers me that we're putting out $21 billion for illegal immigrants. If they want to come to America, let them come. But you don't really obviously think that we should let people come here illegally and take our jobs.
Oh, no, we don't.
Absolutely. And also, Veronica,
Hold on, wait a minute. Veronica, go ahead. Let Veronica say what she wants to. Go ahead, Veronica.
Yes. You know what? I'm against illegal immigration everywhere, you know. But it's not just Mexicans are coming here. And you're putting it in a way that it's just Mexicans. There are more than Mexicans here. And you said that they want to destroy here.
No. There's not the Veronica. There's not the Mexicans.
Neither one of us said anything about Mexican at all. You're the one who called up and said the word Mexican. I said the word illegal aliens.
Yes,
illegal
aliens. Veronica, why did you raise
illegal
the word? Veronica.
Illegal aliens come from all countries. So I don't know how you jumped to that conclusion. But
no,
if you're talking
I'm
about California,
to
well,
yeah,
no, but I didn't say Mexican at all.
Veronica, why did you raise the word Mexican? Because Shalene did not mention Mexican. Why did you mention them?
You mentioned that. I'm taping it.
No, I didn't.
Shalene did not mention that at all. And basically, we cannot afford to have people coming here and, it's costing California $21 billion. We'd be glad to send them all back to Ohio. If people want to come to this country, they can come here legally. Did you come here legally?
Yes, I'm Mexican-American.
Oh, fine. Did you come here legally?
Yeah, my parents did.
Are you a citizen of America?
I'm a citizen? Yes, yeah.
All right, fine. Then don't you think that people should come in legally?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. And that is the objection. It is not immigrants coming in. It is the fact that they're coming in illegally.
You're right. I understand that. What I'm saying is you said it, that Mexico wants to destroy the economy and the Mexicans that are here destroying the economy.
No, Veronica.
The hate, you know, against Mexicans.
This show is podcast. So I suggest you replay it, and then I expect you to call Dr. Stan and apologize because that wasn't mentioned.
Shalene, let me make the point. Basically, what Shalene said was not that the Mexicans wanted to destroy our country, but there are people who want to destroy our country, and they are using the Mexicans. You listen to what she said, will you, Veronica? You listen to it, and then give us a call back. Because she did not say the Mexicans wanted to destroy our country. It is the people who are encouraging the illegal immigration. Okay?
Yes, and I want to invite people, you know, to learn more, because not all the people that are here are Mexicans. And I've been, you know, very, very discriminated because I'm Mexican. When I mention Mexican, people jump. And you know what? That's not fair, because we have to love the neighbor, even though maybe the Bible calls us to love our enemies, and we are not their enemies.
Veronica, thank you so much for your call. Nobody has said that they're our enemy. Charlene's point was there are people who want to destroy our America by flooding us with illegal immigration and certainly bankrupting our nation. Do you want that to happen? Do you want to raise the living standards of America to that of the Mexican peasant? But that's exactly what they want to do. Thank you so much for calling. And I think Veronica feels very strongly that this is a criticism of Mexicans. After all, Mexicans are wonderful people. But we cannot have illegal immigration, and we cannot have it being utilized with a lot of these people being encouraged to vote when they're not citizens, they don't understand America, and they are simply, as Shalene said so well, they are simply being used as pawns in this vicious game. Would that be a fair appraisal, Shalene?
Absolutely. That's exactly what I said, so thank you very much. But, you know, people hear what they want to hear. And, you know, my mom's family came from Italy, and you want to talk about discrimination, they were legal immigrants. And back in the time, back during Ellis Island and after that, people were discriminated against. Nobody's discriminating against anybody. but we need to secure our borders. We need to stop the insanity, and we need to stop the corporations and the government using illegal aliens as pawns and slaves. And that was what I said earlier. Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Stan, for making that clarification.
Okay, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If Sydney, if you'd like to give Celine a call, but or have a question or comment. But Celine, how can people get into touch with your campaign and help you?
Absolutely. They can go to nightingaleforgovernor.com. That is nightingaleforgovernor.com. We are extremely busy. I can tell you this. Our campaign is doing more than any alternate candidate has ever done. So we are not running like your typical campaign. We have a whole entire staff and we can't even keep up. It's the final days here. But I'm so encouraged by what I'm seeing, and people are definitely waking up. So I appreciate it.
And I think it's very interesting. As you look around, you don't see a lot of Brown for governor bumper stickers. You don't see a lot of Whitman for governor bumper stickers because they have no real public support. I mean, if you look and see, where did they come from? Well, Jerry Brown's the candidate of the unions, and Meg Whitman's the candidate of she's her own candidate. She's put out, almost $150, $140 million of her own money. I think maybe this is a stepping stone to wanting to run for the presidency. I'm not sure why she would want to be the governor of a state of California, because unless, of course, she addressed the real issues, and that is, and I know you've addressed this issue on your own, setting up a state bank where we could get loans for our businesses here.
Yes.
And that is really such an important issue. And none of the candidates, neither Brown nor Whitman, will talk about the fact that we need tariffs to protect our industries. Yes. We need certainly to have a banking system that will lend rather than the corporate banking system that is intent upon strangling our businesses and driving them out of the country and impoverishing our people. But you go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, Dr. Stan, I didn't meet her in person, but we were on the same radio program the other day with Ellen Brand. Remember when you introduced me to her and her idea?
Right.
So absolutely, we need a state bank. North Dakota did it. I advocate it. It's one of the ways that we can become a state, states' rights. And it's one way that we can get out of the ever-encroaching in power of the federal government. And when the Federal Reserve collapses, which I believe that it will eventually, we will have our own system to which we can protect our state sovereignty and our state financials, which is exactly what a governor should do. I mean, that's part of the power of the governor, is to protect the state and to protect individuals to have financial welfare. Again, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So it is one of my ideas, as well as we really do have to get back. You know, the founding fathers had it right. They had a free market, sound money principles, limited government. That is what works. I think we clearly see with Spain and what we're seeing here in California that big government and socialist programs, anything that's the opposite of what the founding fathers advocated, does not work. These economies always collapse.
Okay.
And it's not what is in the best interest of the people.
Okay, let's go to Dean calling from the Bay Area. Hi, Dean. How are you doing?
Very well, Dr. Stan. Thanks for taking my call. I've just got a quick comment, question. I saw on TV there could be a problem with the levees up in the Delta. And if there's an earthquake and a levee fails, saltwater intrusion would force California to shut off the water. So I wonder how would you deal with that? I mean, what are you going to do about the levees?
All right. Well, I think that do you have any thoughts at all on the levees, Shalene? Because this is a problem up there.
Yeah.
They're not well maintained, and they really should be. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that is a great question about the levees. As a matter of fact, like I said, I have a group of women that I'm working with right now on these issues. But you know, that is a problem that I'm not going to know how to handle until I'm in there. I mean, come on, let's face it. I am a we the people. I'm not an expert on all issues. I realize because water is one of my issues and because I want us to be state sovereign, I know what the problems are. We have problems with the prison system. We have problems with the levees. We have problems with, you know, with the business, and we have problems with too much regulations. And I mean, the problems go on and on and on and on and on. And I'm obviously not going to be an expert in every single area until I'm actually in. That's why when you're in a governor's race, I mean, when you're a governor, you have an administration. You have an entire administration that you appoint that helps you with these problems. One person alone can't solve it, but also you, the people, you have to help with initiative processes, and you have to help by doing your part as well. It's a team system, not one system, not one person system.
And I think that this is going to be a very real problem up there. The difficulty is they're wasting so much money on unimportant things, on a failed educational system, and more money is not going to solve that. Hold on. Yes. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, Shalene, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Yes, I'm sorry. Say that again, Dr.
You've got
Stan.
You've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Right. She just suggested getting a state bank so that we can have a bank that will represent the people that will loan money rather than part of the banking cartel that is restricting spending money, restricting the availability of money because they want to be able to collapse the economy, foreclose on the homes and the businesses, and they're going to come out. You're going to see a great transfer of wealth from the weak hands to the strong hands. That's how the banks work. First of all, you get everybody in debt. Oh, borrow money, borrow money. Borrow money and buy a farm, borrow money and buy a house, borrow money and start a business, borrow money, you know, and start a commercial development. That's all a scam. Once they get enough people borrowed, and then, of course, they restrict the access to money. They stop lending because this is all phony money. They can lend $9 for every $1 they have in deposit, and then they stop lending. And there's no place you can get the money, and you lose your home, you lose your commercial development, you lose your farm, you lose your business. That's the way the game is played. That's why we need a state bank here in California to represent the people rather than the moneyed interest back on Wall Street, who are part and parcel of the Brotherhood of Darkness. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do hope all of you out there in the listening audience will want to get more information on what's going on. Certainly, illegal immigration is being used, and certainly the Mexicans or the illegal immigrants are simply cannon fodder in this battle, in this attack on America that is being used to destroy this nation, and they bring down America, they'll bring down Mexico, they'll bring out down nations all throughout the world. And basically, this is all about impoverishing the entire world and bringing in a new world order, a new world religion. That's why they took God and prayer out of our schools and Bible and Ten Commandments, and then fast enthroning the new world leader, who is the Antichrist. And they know it is. And if you doubt that, you need to get the interview with Constance Cumbie. It's called The Emergence. Listen to her DVD on The Emergence. Listen to my four-tape set of interviews with Constance Cumbie. It's called The Aquarian Conspiracy. You need to watch the excellent DVD with Pat Wood on the Trilateral Commission. They're the ones who control both political parties and make mockery out of the electoral process. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, why you suddenly get the three pamphlet set on the occult hierarchy, the book Satanic Crimes, and the DVD, the CD set that goes with that, the four CD set. We have all sorts of information. You need to get it, and you need to help us get the information out. There's a growing awareness across America that something is seriously wrong, and we've got to provide people with answers. They need to understand the structure of the forces on the other side. Some woman asked me the other evening how she could convince a friend that the liberal position is wrong. And I knew there was a book, and I read it 47 years ago, 48 years ago perhaps, called The Mainspring of Human Progress. The Mainspring of Human Progress. What's wrong with socialism? What's wrong with establishing a government that will help people? Well, you need to read The Mainspring of Human Progress. You need to understand the force behind the socialist movement in America today, the force that is financing the socialist and the communist movement in the United States, is the people of great wealth. Why? Because, of course, they want to circumvent our Constitution, decentralize all power in Washington, D.C., where they can buy and sell the congressmen, and that's what it's all about. Because if you expand the power of government, somebody's going to be in control, and it's not going to be the elected representatives. It's going to be the people who put up the money to get them elected and who they are subservient to. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. This next Tuesday, a very important election. I think we'll probably get some fair elections here in California. They've done away with the electronic voting machines. If you're out across America, we need to get rid of all of them because they can all be fixed. They don't want fair elections. They want power. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be, well, we hope they're going to be the views of William Grigg. And there he is. Hi, William. How are you?
Dr. Stan, I'm doing well. Thanks again for having me on your program.
It's always a pleasure here, and of course you're my favorite guest during the week because you're the last guest of the week, and then we get the weekend off. Tell us, what are we going to be talking about tonight?
I don't think that there's any way we could avoid talking about what appears to be the most recent episode of Homeland Security Theater having to do with these alleged explosive devices on these cargo planes that were en route to the United States from Yemen.
Now, how could these Islamic radicals be so poor? I mean, you would think they would, these people, well trained. I mean, a lot of them were trained here in the United States during the Afghan War. You would think they would know how to build a bomb. They can certainly build very good bombs in Iraq. I mean, they killed an awful lot of American boys with their roadside devices. They were bombs. Why can't they build regular bombs and get them in the United States? Or do you think maybe this is all just political theater?
I don't think that any rational person looking at this can suspect that it's anything other than political theater, that it's Homeland Security theater, that we're seeing this familiar kabuki play in which we're told that our gallant, intrepid defenders have managed to hold in abeyance once again the all-encompassing threat that, of course, presses on us from Yemen now and Pakistan and Somalia and pretty much any place in Northern Africa or the Middle East or Central Asia where Washington's empire has ambitions. Most people before today, I would be willing to bet, have never heard of Yemen. Ambrose Bierce, in his Devil's Dictionary, Ambrose Bierce, of course, was a 19th century writer of a rather sarcastic and curmudgeonly cast, famously said that wars were God's way of teaching geography to Americans. And what's going on right now with respect to terrorism is something that's quite similar in terms of the tutorial effect that it has. I'd be willing to bet that probably fewer than one out of every 10,000 or 100,000 Americans had ever heard of Yemen until today. And those who had heard of Yemen probably had heard of it roughly a year ago, December actually of last year, when Abdul Talib, another person supposedly attached to this new or newly christened terrorist group Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, supposedly tried to set off a bomb in his underwear on a Detroit-bound flight. And there's enough that we know about that episode to constitute a preponderance of evidence that that was a false flag operation. He was, of course, squired onto the plane by people who seemed to be security officials in the custody, or at least under the charge, of a fellow from India. And he was misidentified as a Somali refugee, and so he was given passage through security, not examined in terms of his visa and his other paperwork.
In fact, there have been reports from somebody who was actually in the airport when he got on the plane that he had neither a passport nor a visa, but that didn't seem to bother him. There seemed to be some very powerful forces that wanted to get that guy onto the plane so that he could light the fuse to try to blow up the plane, but nobody ever told this poor young man that you can't explode CD4, which he had sewed into his underwear. You can't explode it with a fuse. You have to have an explosive device. You would think that these clever Al-Qaeda, so clever that they could outwit all of our intelligence agencies and hijack four planes, that you would think they might know that it's at the CD4. You can burn it, you know, if you want a little heat. Why, it's a good thing to burn, but you can't set it off. And that young man, Sydney, will spend the rest of his life in prison because he wanted to be a martyr. And he tried to blow up a plane with CD4 in his underwear. No way could it possibly have exploded, but we can't let the American people know that. We have to convince them there's a terrible terrorist threat.
Exactly.
And just before we have the election, why, we got to back the people in power. Otherwise, the boogeyman's going to get us. William, go right ahead.
I think you summarized aptly what H.L. Mencken called the fundamental equation of what he called practical politics, which is keeping people perpetually alarmed over an entire panoply of threats, almost all of them imaginary. And in that way, of course, people would be induced to seek the security that only the state could provide, only the government could provide. And this situation a year ago with the so-called underwear bombers, a really good example of the type of thing that has to be classed under the heading, once again, of an orchestrated false flag homeland security type operation, of which we've had, of course, a plethora over the last several years. I'm really running out of space in my file cabinets and perhaps even on my hard drive that would be suitable and adequate to keep track of the number of penetrable false flag operations that have been run by the FBI. And they follow a common morphology. You have somebody who infiltrates a mosque, a religious community of Muslims here in the United States. Almost without exception, this person begins to talk a big story about having access to wealth and connections. And he gravitates toward people he scopes out having some kind of psychological weakness, some kind of social handicap. In the recent Nuremberg 4 trial, which ended with these four hapless, marginalized saps being convicted of conspiring to carry out a terrorist plot that was orchestrated by a Pakistani informant for the FBI, you had this guy who was a veteran provocateur from the FBI, somebody who was a petty crook who was attached to people in fairly high positions in Pakistan, approached this mosque several years ago, and immediately he targeted four of the most weak-willed and least capable people he could find. At least two of them had criminal records. They were all unemployed. One of them was a mental patient. None of them had money. None of them had prospects. And he showed up, this informant, provocateur, showed up driving a new late-model luxury car every week and having a lot of throwing around or walking around money, induced these people into this plot, supposedly to the benefit of a Pakistani terrorist group. The plot would involve shooting down with Stinger missiles. And, of course, Stinger missiles would have to be provided by which government? The government of the United States. Nobody really asked where that would come from, where that element of this plot would come from when they presented this for the federal jury. But they were supposedly going to be shooting down military aircraft with Stinger missiles and planting bombs at synagogues in the Newburgh, New York area. And on recorded conversations, this informant provocateur kept saying, this is something we want to do because of the policy of the federal government and the Israeli government with respect to the Muslim world.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William is simply discussing the conviction of the Nuremberg Four. And, of course, these were four people who were entrapped by an FBI informant with a lot of money in a flashy car who told them that they had to do something to avenge the federal government's mistreatment of Muslims, and they were going to do this by shooting planes down with Stinger missiles. As William points out, Muslims weren't smart enough to ask where they were going to get Stinger missiles. The only people who has them is the U.S. government, but the man who was entrapping them was working for the government, and they were going to be bombing this and that and the other thing. And basically, these people, obviously not very smart, fell into the trap.
Yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's why you want to be very careful, because your closest friend could be an FBI informant. I'm really say that very clearly. I can give you example after example, whether it be Michael Rupert, who wrote the book Crossing the Rubicon, Pat Patriciana, who actually put out a film on the Clinton Chronicles, the fellow up there at Ruby Ridge, who actually, his best friend was an FBI informant who talked him into sawing a shotgun off just a little bit short because they wanted to force him to become an informant, and he didn't want to do it. And so they killed Randy Weaver's son, and they killed his wife, but nobody was ever punished for that. And not only that, but the marshals shot one of their own. They shot him in the back. And I talked to defense attorney up there. His name was, of all people, David Niven. Fascinating interview with David Niven. And he told me that they had the rucksack of the federal marshal who was shot. But he wasn't shot in the front by anybody. He was shot in the back by his own people. But we could never let the American people know that. Well, let's get back to the subject here. You go right ahead, William.
Yeah, well, the thing that I find interesting about the Nuremberg 4 case, and there were at least two other cases that this same criminal, the same career informant for the FBI had been involved in that followed the same detailed approach, the same blueprint, is that the grievances, and I've mentioned this before, but it's worth repeating because we have to have some countervailing influence on the public mind to counteract what the government-aligned media has to say about things of the sort. The recruiting pitch being used in every single one of these provocation episodes focuses not on the fact that Americans refuse to make Islam, that is to say, we refuse to adhere to the faith of Muhammad, but rather they play on outrage on the part of Muslims that Muslims are being killed across the ocean by Washington and by Washington's surrogates. They play on the sympathy and the outrage of people as they see the results of predator drone attacks in Pakistan or in Yemen. They have been going on in Yemen now for many years. George W. Bush started that several years ago. Or things that are happening in Somalia, where the United States is backing the Ethiopian occupation forces that have been doing horrible things under the nominal authority of so-called authority, I hasten to specify, of the United Nations. The United States has been backing the Ethiopian Army of Occupation in Somalia. One of the things that will drive people to terrorism, including suicide terrorism, is being occupied by a foreign power. That's something that's not unique to Islam. That's actually something that you can find in Buddhism. You can find it in the conflict involving India and Sri Lanka. You can find that, for instance, if you go back and study the history of the Vietnam War, you can see episodes of suicide terrorism that were meant to repel what the people who committed those acts considered to be foreign invaders of their country. And the same thing is happening now sort of on a global scale. It's being abetted by the FBI, and every single one of these provocation operations I've studied, the recruiter, the terrorism facilitator, that's the actual